For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Tuesday, April 12, 2016. In advance of the New York primary, April 19th, voters can see what's on the ballot using a tool called Voter's Edge. It tells New Yorkers that in addition to voting for presidential candidates on the Democratic side, voters also vote for 163 of New York's 291 delegates to the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. Matt Salars is with the New York City Campaign Finance Board.
What's happening on Tuesday is the primary election in New York State. Our primary elections are what's called a closed primary system, which means that only the only voters who are enrolled in the particular parties may vote in those primary elections. So on the Republican side, voters are going to see a ballot that's actually quite simple. They'll be seeing the three candidates remaining, Cruz, Kasich, and Trump. On the Democratic ballot, it's a little bit more complicated. Voters there will be seeing the two candidates, Clinton and Sanders, but they'll also be seeing a slate of delegates that hope to represent those candidates at the national convention. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what should voters do to cast a ballot? Obviously, the most important thing to do is to express their choice for the candidate, Clinton or Sanders. That vote will determine the share of delegates that each of the candidates receive to the convention. And that's the most important thing for them to do, for voters to do, is to express that choice, right? Now, the voters should also take a whack at choosing the delegates. These are the names of the people who will actually be representing the candidates at the convention. So, and the delegates are chosen proportionally based on the results in each district and in the statewide vote. So say in your district, one candidate gets 60% of the vote, the other candidate gets 40% of the vote, and there are six delegates to choose from. That means that the candidate who got 60% will get four delegates. The other person will get two delegates. So who are those four and two? The votes in the delegate section determine who those folks are.
And you won't see all of those delegates on your ballot. What you'll see is a proportion of the delegates according to the district that you're voting in. And the delegates selected can't switch their vote at the convention. Out of 291 delegates, with 163 delegates voted on by New York voters, that leaves 128 delegates. And these are those super delegates we keep hearing about.
So they are, voters should, you know, watch and make sure that all their friends and family that can go out and vote on Tuesday actually do so, because it's the first time in a very long time that New Yorkers have had the opportunity to weigh in such a pivotal way in the presidential primary races.
Matt Salars is with the New York City Campaign Finance Board. To look at your ballot, type in votersedge.nyccfb.
Apples and oranges.
To skeptics who point to how he never ran for speaker but then became House Speaker, Paul Ryan says being speaker is a far cry from being president.
Specifically, because I was already in the House. I'm already a congressman. So I was asked by my colleagues to take a responsibility within Congress that I've already been serving in from the one that I had. That is entirely different than getting the nomination for president of the United States by your party without even running for the job. So completely non sequitur comparison in my book.
Ryan says when you select a nominee, you should select among people who want to run for the job. So would he support Donald Trump as a nominee? The question wasn't asked at a news conference this afternoon, but a contested convention is looking more likely since frontrunner Trump may not collect the necessary delegates ahead of time. Today is Equal Pay Day. A new study shows that the gender wage gap costs women in New York almost $20 billion a year. Andrea Sears reports.
Nationally, women earn 79 cents for every dollar paid to men and would have to work more than 3 months extra to earn the same amount men were paid last year. The study by the National Partnership for Women and Families found New York better than average, with women earning 87 cents to the dollar. But Vicky Shabo, vice president of the partnership, says that really adds up.
on average, a working woman in New York would have approximately enough money for a whole year's worth of groceries, 3 more months of mortgage and utilities, or 6 more months of rent if they were paid equivalent to what men are paid.
The gap is even wider for women of color, with African-American women in New York averaging just 66 cents to every dollar paid to white, non-Hispanic men, Latinas only 56 cents, and Asian women 80 cents. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And today, President Obama designated a home central to the women's rights movement a national monument, the Sewall Belmont House. It was named after women's rights activists Alva Belmont and Alice Paul.
This house became a hotbed of activism, a centerpiece for the struggle for equality, a monument to a fight not just for women's equality, but ultimately for equality for everybody. Because one of the things we've learned is that the effort to make sure that everybody's treated fairly is connected. And so today, I am very proud to designate it as America's newest national monument, the Belmont Paul Women's Equality National Monument, right here in Washington, D.C. We do this to help tell the story of these suffragists. In these rooms, they pursued ideals which shouldn't be relegated to the archives of history, shouldn't be behind glass cases, because the story they're fighting is our story. I want young girls and boys to come here 10, 20, 100 years from now to know that women fought for equality. It was not just given to them. I want them to come here and be astonished that there was ever a time when women could not vote. I want them to be astonished that there was ever a time when women earned less than men for doing the same work. I want them to be astonished that there was ever a time when women were vastly outnumbered in the boardroom or in Congress, that there was ever a time when a woman had never sat in the Oval Office.
While the president has not endorsed a successor, his comment is the latest in a series that suggests he's rooting for Democrat Hillary Clinton. Mayor Bill de Blasio is defending his campaign's fundraising activities over ties to two businessmen. They are being investigated for payoffs to the NYPD. This comes at a time when he is stumping for Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. The two businessmen under investigation, Jeremy Reichberg and Jonah Reschnitz, served on de Blasio's inaugural committee in 2013, and they contributed to his campaign. Ben Max of Gotham Gazette reports.
The mayor quickly said that he doesn't have a close association with the two men and that his administration has done nothing wrong in the process.
Here we have, in the scheme of things, very limited amounts of money, fully disclosed, for two purposes that are not exactly about reinforcing the power interests and the status quo. Universal pre-K and affordable housing, including an affordable housing program that required developers to have to create affordable housing and major developments for the first time in New York City history or any other city's history.
The mayor has ardently defended his fundraising practices and said the city has never provided any favors to people who have fundraised for the mayor or for entities associated with him, like his nonprofit Campaign for One New York, which is in the process of being closed down after much criticism over the fact that people were donating unlimited amounts to it because it is free of campaign finance rules.
So the law is law. What we did, everything was very carefully and scrupulously checked for consistency with city, state, federal law, for absolute consistency with any other standards that had to be held. We didn't do any of this lightly, and the people who were working on Campaign for One New York didn't do it lightly. But again, we believe that the work that was necessary to do got done. We're very proud of that fact. And there's no need for that entity at this point.
Much of the federal investigation of the two businessmen relates to their interactions with high-ranking NYPD officials and potential bribery. Now, no one has been charged with the crime. However, it is clear that an investigation is ongoing, as federal officials have questioned many members of the NYPD, and Commissioner Bratton put 4 high-ranking officials on modified duty as the investigation continues. The mayor has addressed a series of questions about the issue and related investigations over the last week. On Sunday, he said that he doesn't have a close relationship with the two men.
In terms of these two individuals, as I said, I met them around the time of the general election, had not known them previously, have spent very little time with them in the scheme of things and not much at all in the last year. And, you know, I'm obviously sad to hear all this has happened. It doesn't sound like it's appropriate. There's an investigation going underway. We'll wait to see what comes of the investigation before making our final judgments. But they're two individuals I just don't know well.
One key question in the investigations is whether anyone from the de Blasio campaign or the Campaign for One New York has told potential donors or donors that favorable government action would accompany donations. De Blasio denied any such wrongdoing, though it is unclear what federal investigators have uncovered at this point. Now, this all comes at a time for the mayor when he's trying to build on recent victories around his affordable housing plans, and he is out stumping for presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton, especially as New York is set to vote in the presidential primaries on Tuesday, April 19th. At this point, it's not clear that the Clinton campaign will be limiting the amount that de Blasio has exposure as a surrogate for Clinton. But de Blasio was asked on Meet the Press on Sunday when he was supposed to be stumping for Clinton about the investigation, which didn't necessarily make things look favorable for either party. There'll be a lot more to watch for in the coming days. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
And finally, today, on what would have been Romarley Graham's 23rd birthday, his family went to City Hall to call on Mayor de Blasio to stop protecting police officers who commit crimes. Graham was killed by police officer Richard Haste on February 2, 2012. Haste shot and killed Romarley in his home, in his bathroom, in front of his grandmother and little brother. Romarley was unarmed. Haste is still on the police force. Graham's case was an early catalyst for what would later become the Black Lives Matter movement, police reform and accountability demos that reached a fever pitch following the killings of Mike Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Eric Garner here in New York City. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.